Israel, if they launch an attack, a retaliatory attack on Iran, Iran had said, okay, we showed you what we could do last time. Next time, we're going to do it 10 times as big. Yeah. I believe that. I absolutely believe it. And I don't think they're lying. Now, Israel was actually acting like they were going to attack last night, and they didn't do it. And some sane voices are starting to say, wait just a minute. Maybe we really don't want to do that.
Bob, how are you doing?
I'm doing really good. This is an interesting time. I would love to have the ability to predict the price of gold and silver. And obviously, nobody could predict what's happened for the last couple of weeks. So it's interesting. And every time I expect a correction, it's up another 40 bucks.
Yeah, it is interesting. It's really, I, like you, have been expecting and really still am expecting a pullback, but it hasn't really pulled back what I thought. And yet, the gold stocks a little bit, but there hasn't been this violent prediction drawdown like you thought they would be.
No, and you know, I follow sentiment. I was looking for the stocks that I follow that I own today, and there's no volume whatsoever. And that means there's no sellers, okay? Now, I don't care if there's no buyers, as long as for the last couple of months, there have been forms of sellers, but there's no sellers today, and that's interesting.
It is interesting. I'm very surprised, to say the least.
Me and everybody else predicting the price of gold.
Yeah, right. Well, let's talk about what happened. Today is the Wednesday, April 17th. Let's talk about what happened over the weekend and what's continuing to happen over in the Middle East with Iran.
Okay. One of the things that I try to do in my books is convince people, ordinary people with reasonable access to information, know the answer if they ask the right question. It's all about asking the right question. Okay, now then, we're going to do an interview. And I'm going to interview you.
Please.
Okay, did Israel deliberately attack the consulate in Syria, the Iranian consulate?
You're asking what I think. I would say I don't think so. Why would they do that?
Well, that's the second question. Did they deliberately attack the consulate? Of course they did. Okay.
Okay. But then why would they do that?
That's where it's interesting. Now, my opinion, and it's just an opinion, is Bibi is trying to make things worse in the Middle East because he faces jail like Biden does once he's out of office. And I think that has a lot more to do with things. He's quite willing to kill hundreds of thousands, perhaps millions of people just to stay out of jail. But the attack on the Iranian embassy in Damascus was deliberate. And it was designed to force Iran to retaliate. Can you agree with that?
So, yes, I can agree with that. Yes. And
okay.
I see your truth.
Okay. So let's go to the attack over this weekend. Iran sent 320 drones, ballistic missiles, and hypersonic missiles, according to Israel and the United States, 99% of the drones and the ballistic missiles were shot down. Now, we know that Saudi Arabia participated. We know that Jordan participated. We know that French Air Force or French Navy participated, the British Air Force, the American Air Force, and of course, Israel. When someone reports the election results in East Bumfuck, the winner got 99% of the vote. What do you immediately think?
That it was a fraud.
Of course. Okay. Nobody gets 99% when the Russians took Crimea back and they held a fair election. I think 93% of the inhabitants of Crimea supported being part of Russia. Okay, so nobody gets 99%. So as soon as they said 99% of the drones and the ballistic missiles were shot down, I thought, okay, they're lying. Okay, that's pretty common, but they're lying. But let's go into the Iranians gave advance notice to the entire world that they were launching an attack. Why did they do that? Why did they do that?
So I'm going to give you the answer. Well, I'll give you my answer. They were signaling something so there wouldn't be mass casualties.
Actually, not. To the extent that the attack was designed to keep casualties down, I'll agree with that. But what they were deliberately doing is painting a bullseye on all those missiles and the drones.
Painting a bullseye of where they're coming from? Or like, you're right. Okay. You're right. I follow you. Yes. Yes.
We're going to fire 170 drones at you and they'll be there in an hour.
And this is the day we're going to do it.
Why'd they do that?
So they'd be shot down.
Thank you. Why did they want them shot down?
To drag us into bigger conflict, to be retaliated against.
Nope. They were absolutely sending a message. But here's some mathematics. What does a drone cost?
I have no idea.
$20,000.
$20,000. Okay.
Okay. What does a Patriot missile cost?
$1 million.
4.8 million.
4.8 million. Okay.
Okay. Now then, you send over a drone, which has, like a firecracker attached to it. I mean, you're not going to do very much drone or damage. They send over a drone, and typically they shoot three Patriot missiles. They just spent $12 million, or actually $13.4 million, to destroy a $20,000 drone. The drones were not designed to attack Israel. The drones were designed to deplete Israel's supply of anti-aircraft missiles. Jordan now has zero Patriot missiles in stock. None. They fired every single one they had. Okay. So they shot down. Let's say they didn't shoot down 99%. Let's say they shot down 100% of the drones. Once Israel and the United States and the UK, Saudi Arabia and Jordan and the French had fired off these defensive weapons to shoot down the drones. Then they came in with the ballistic missiles, and I'm going to say, no doubt, some of them were shot down. However, they had three targets in mind. They had two IDF Air Force bases, and they had a spook station in the Golan Heights. the IDF airports were the airports that they sent the airplanes to attack the embassy. And the spook station was on the Golan Heights was what controlled it. So they had very specific targets, and they hit all three targets. Okay? They just killed the entire military industrial complex in the United States and Israel. Yeah, exactly. United States and Israel. Israel's a big provider of weapons. Okay?
Interesting.
Here's the problem with the weapons. The weapons don't work. They're expensive and they don't work. Now, General MacArthur warned Americans about the power of the military-industrial complex. Eisenhower did on the last speech that he made as president. And the military-industrial complex has effectively controlled the politics of the United States since 1945. Blinken just said, and I've talked about this, and I think I've mentioned it to you, Blinken just said that the war in Ukraine, it's a win-win from the United States because 90% of the money comes back to the United States to go to the military-industrial complex. And the reason I gag every time I hear that is it has taken the lives of 700,000 Ukrainian soldiers in a war they couldn't possibly win, and Blinken thinks it's a good thing. Okay, now I hate seeing people caught in war. Okay, I would say in a war. I don't like war. Okay,
me both.
I am not a pacifist. I'm actually a warrior. I'm the opposite of a pacifist. Okay, I killed a lot of people, and I would do it again for the right cause. Okay. But that's the key right there, the right cause. I never realized. Sure. I went to Vietnam as a 22-year-old kid, literally flying the F-4, and I believed all the bullshit that I was told. Well, it was all a lie. So what has happened is that was the most incredible victory battle in history by Iran. And Iran just showed the United States and the UK and France and Israel who the big dog is in the Middle East. Now, the bad news is, depending on how stupid Israel wants to get, Israel, if they launch an attack, a retaliatory attack on Iran, Iran had said, okay, we showed you what we could do last time. Next time, we're going to do it 10 times as big. Yeah. I believe that. I absolutely believe it. And I don't think they're lying. Now, Israel was actually acting like they were going to attack last night, and they didn't do it. And some sane voices are starting to say, wait just a minute. Maybe we really don't want to do that. Now, if Israel came to the table and sat down and said, look, we need to realize we've been a bad neighbor for 80 years. We've been raping, looting, and plundering. We've been murdering Christians. We've been murdering Muslims. And maybe that's a bad idea. Okay. We could have a two-state solution. And personally, my opinion is just my opinion. My opinion is that's the best solution. Now, the alternative to a two-state solution is a one-state solution. But if Iran is the big dog in the Middle East and Iran is not putting up with any more of Israel's bullshit, who is going to be the one state?
Iran.
No. Iran doesn't want Israel.
Russia?
No.
China.
Russia want Israel. No, not China.
Who?
Whose country was it?
Israel?
Okay, before...
Palestinians.
Bingo. Okay? Now, if you go back to the Balfour document in 1917 that was given from Lord Balfour to Lord Rothschild, it was very clear that the rights of the indigenous people in Palestine were not to be infringed, okay? And in 1947, when the UN was voting on the freedom for Palestine / Israel, they said two-state solution. Israel has pretended for 25 years, okay, they were considering a two-state solution. The whole thing about Gaza is to clear Israel of all Palestinians. Now, while we pay attention to Gaza, everybody's ignoring the fact that Israel has murdered about 500 Palestinians in the illegally occupied West Bank. So Israel has had their way for 80 years, had total support from the United States, and they just got their ass kicked. And the only question is, should they attack Iran? Okay, let's ask some questions. What's the population of Israel, approximately?
I have no idea. 2 million?
9 million.
Was that?
9 million.
9 million. Okay, sounds right.
Okay, what's the population of Iran?
I'm going to guess 40, 50 million.
90.
90. Okay, double what I thought.
Yeah. So how does a country with 9 million people defeat a country with 90 million people militarily?
Fear and nukes.
Nukes. Nukes. Now, I believe the attack on the embassy was deliberate on the part of Netanyahu for two reasons. One, and the primary, believe it or not, is to keep him out of jail. And the other is to have Iran respond. And then the United States and Israel will nuke.
Draw them into a war.
Yeah. Okay. But here's where it gets really interesting. I took the last aircraft to go into Iran before the Shah was overthrown in 1979. I took the airplane in 1978, and he left the country in February of 1979.
We know pilot.
I do. The Shah's twin sister owned an airline, and she flew the American and British expat oil people from Tehran to Abadan to the oil fields. She paid for every airplane 100% every month. And I took a Fokker F-227 to Tehran in November of 1978.
You were flying it.
Yep. What can you say about the size of Iran compared to the size of Israel?
It's massively bigger.
Massively bigger. Okay. Yeah. So you go toss 5 or 10 nukes on Iran. What have you really accomplished?
Depends on where they hit, I guess.
No, it doesn't. No, it doesn't. Here's something people don't understand that have never been to war. Killing people has nothing to do with winning wars. Okay, everybody thinks, well, you want to go in there and kill as many of them as possible. We killed millions of people in Vietnam. Who won?
We didn't win.
Okay. We killed hundreds of thousands of people in Afghanistan, and we were fighting goat herders. Who won?
We didn't win.
Exactly. Okay. So we go in and kill a lot of people, really for the benefit of the military-industrial complex. But that's why we lose every single war. Now, the Russians and the Iranians said, hey, wait a minute. We don't fight wars to kill people. We fight wars to win. And we certainly don't fight wars to feed the military-industrial complex. So we've got this really interesting situation. We could have peace in the Middle East for the very first time in 80 years. And I support that 100%. I think that would be wonderful. There is an illegal immigrant issue in Europe, okay? And I'm in Europe. I'm certainly aware of it. And a large part of it is because 37 million illegal immigrants that have been caused by the wars that the United States and Israel have created over the last 20, 25 years. someone was talking to me about it. Actually, I had someone staying with me, and she said, France has too many illegal immigrants. And I said, no, that's the apparent problem. The real problem is there are too many illegal immigrants. And the solution is not to throw the illegal immigrants out of France. That's part of it. But the solution is stop creating illegal immigrants. Okay. We've got this insanity in Texas and Arizona. We're bringing in literally millions of people, okay? And they're Chinese, and they're Haitian, okay? And they're North African. There are more Chinese coming in than any other group, yeah. Okay? Now, if China wanted to send over soldiers as a fifth column, what a great way to do it. Now, right. I believe, and again, it's just my opinion, I believe that we've been infiltrated, and it's going to occur to somebody at some point. Why don't we get these guys guns and they go out and kill 50 or 100 people apiece? Can you imagine what you could do with 10,000 terrorists shooting up the United States? So we have created this monster that's out of control. Mayorkas is lying about it. The Democrats are lying about it. Biden's lying about it. And the funny thing to me is nobody actually comes out and says, no, it's a great idea. We should bring all these Chinese in, and we should bring all these Haitians in, and we should spend all this money. Nobody ever says it's a good idea. They just do it.
Right. Yeah. So really, my question then is, what happens then? I mean, meaning like, well, let's go back to Iran and Israel then. So we got escalation. Israel's somewhat telegraphing a move. We're going to hit you. And then I just read today, they're going to hit him this weekend. I mean, who does that anymore? But okay. I thought that was kind of, that was odd. But yeah, game it out for me. What happens then?
Again, the question is more important than the answer. And the question that's important is how many sane people are there in the leadership of Israel? And that was
like very many.
Yeah. That will determine. I literally wrote somebody today and I said, if Israel nukes Iran, and I'll tell you, absolutely, they want to. If they nuke Iran, this will be the end of the Zionist experiment, period. Okay, they're going to lose. And those people are going to get sent back to Europe, which is where they belong.
Yeah, that's just very grave. Just a lot of lives lost here. And then...
Let me read something to you, because it's kind of interesting, and truly, the question should be, how many sane people are there in Israel? I'm going to read something from CNN literally 15 or 20 minutes ago. Okay, let's see here. Okay, they've actually taken it down, which is very funny, but one of the former prime ministers of Israel said, it would be really foolish to attack Iran. Iran was not making a military attack on Israel. They were trying to prove a point. Now, from a cost point of view, it probably cost Iran $10 or $20 million to do that. And it probably cost Israel $1 billion to $1.3 billion, okay, to defend against it. Now, if you spend $1.3 billion to defend yourself and your defenses have a 100% failure rate, do not attack somebody else. Okay? I was I shot at a lot of people, and a lot of people shot at me. And there were circumstances you just didn't go into. I mean, we didn't go out there to prove how brave we were. We wanted to come back. And in air-to-air tactics, if the guy fighting you is better than you and has a better airplane. He's out turning you. You just put the nose down and run. Okay.
Right.
Winning air to air is survival. Okay. And Israel literally is at the point they can make a decision to destroy Israel. And you know, we're going to know in a day or two. That's why the timeliness of this interview is so important.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm thinking. Yeah, you really think. Oh,
you don't want to give me an opportunity like that. I could come up with about three very funny jokes. Oh, you're thinking, geez, that's new. Right? that was cruel. That was below the belt. I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's funny. well, it's like I'm processing everything you said, and I've been processing the last week. Well, processing much long before the past week, if you would, the last several weeks or several months. And this is, you could just see and feel this escalate and escalate and escalate as opposed to de-escalate. And I found that interesting. And then I found it interesting too, that everything's telegraphed. I find that very interesting. Which is, again, you said yourself, you're a warrior. That's not what you do. You don't telegraph what you're going to do.
Only what send a message.
There you go. Yes, great point. But I guess going to economics, and there's a whole thing, that's complete Pandora's box. It's like, this is not ideal for the Biden administration going into an election year, or maybe it is. You know, maybe start a war.
You were talking about the Biden administration. It's not the Biden administration. This is the Obama's third
administration.
Okay.
Yeah.
Biden isn't running anything. Joe Biden is senile. You've got this incredible situation where the DOJ comes out and says, hey, wait a minute. You know, you committed all these crimes by withholding highly classified documents for the last 30 years, but we're not going to charge you because you're too senile to get a conviction. And I heard that and thought, well, yeah, that's true. But shouldn't we be talking about whether he's too senile to be president? But he's not president. Obama's running this.
Right. Or they go after the other guy instead. But I guess that it's the economics here in the sense of like, okay, what's that going to do to the U.S. economy leading into an election? If you're looking, let's say, and gosh, I hope there's some sense into some people and people step back. But
I hope I'm going to interject this. I hope that somebody in Israel is smart enough to understand they just got smacked upside the head, and Iran did it with a fist that time, and they're going to do it with a 2x4 next time. Right. And somebody needs to say, hey, wait a minute. All of the targets that they intended to hit, they did hit. We have totally blown through $1.3 billion worth of Patriot missiles and Iron Dome missiles. We haven't got any more left, and we have no defenses. If you have no defenses, the very best thing you can do is surrender. Now, there's two ways they can do it. They can surrender after they get their ass kicked, or they can surrender before they get their ass kicked. If I got drunk and walked into a bar with a bunch of bikers and went up to the biggest biker's woman and insulted her, and the biker turned around, looked down at me and said, I'm going to kill you, I would say, you know, I may have had a beer too many, and I apologize, okay?
Yeah.
Because you don't want to get killed. And this is I believe the most important battle in the last 500 years. The Americans have to be in a panic because the entire military-industrial complex just got shown to be a total fraud. And that's a big deal. And somebody needs to say, hey, we need to reconsider what we're doing. How much do you know about the F-35?
Done.
Okay, the F-35 is a $1.5 trillion program.
Okay.
It's years late. The number of aircraft they can actually get airborne is not very much. Everything that you're told is fiction. I was a fighter pilot. I flew the F-4 in combat substantially. I flew air-to-air combat. The F-35's a piece of shit, okay? And the only reason the F-35 program exists is because in something like 380 or 390 congressional districts, the military has financed companies. And of course, the other 25 or 30 districts were only the size of a postage stamp, so there wasn't any money they could throw at them. The military-industrial complex has been shown to be fraudulent in Ukraine. And even more important, nobody understood how well Iran was armed. And I'm telling you, I wouldn't mess with Iran. If Israel wants to mess with Iran, they're going to have a serious problem. They're going to have a bunch of dead Israelis.
Yeah, no kidding. But okay, so then let's go back to economics. So this just makes no sense. And I guess it's not the Biden's fight, and it's not the U.S.'s fight. We don't really have to see it anymore. Nor should we. Let me on. But that is very inconvenient going into an election year, and just think of like what that will do to oil prices, which are soft right now, anyways. I mean, you got to look at, you're looking at $150+ a barrel of oil.
No, you're not
going to win you. You're looking at $200 a barrel.
Exactly. Okay. Iran could close the Gulf of Hormuz tomorrow, and they might do it just to prove the point. Oh, okay. You guys want to attack us this weekend? Try doing it with no oil. Okay.
Right. Think about that.
Yeah. Israel and the United States are used to attacking defenseless people. And even Afghanistan showed goat herders with an attitude, okay, can do some serious damage. What they have done in Gaza, and this is an interesting thing, Lloyd Austin, okay, who's the Secretary of Defense, testified in front of Congress last week. And Lloyd Austin said that his people didn't have any information or didn't see any issue of genocide in Gaza. If you don't see genocide in Gaza, your moral compass is broken. I don't give a damn if you're a Jew. I don't care if you're Muslim. I don't care if you're a Christian. If you don't see that as genocide, your moral compass is broken.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I would agree with you. I don't know what to do. I mean, there's nothing I can do.
I'm going to tell you something kind of interesting. This would be a really good time to pray.
Yeah.
Okay. Because we are at a tipping point. And strange enough, this was sort of predicted in the book, The Fourth Turning. You either go to full totalitarianism or you go to freedom. We have the opportunity for freedom in the Middle East, peace in the Middle East, and this absurdity of spending taxpayer money on hundreds of billions of dollars in weapons that don't work. Okay, we need to stop that. We need to go back to a real world economy. We need to go back to peace. I'll tell you about the Europeans, and this absolutely amazed me. What did the Russians do that made him the enemy of the Germans or the Swiss or the Swedes, the Pope? What did Russia do?
Well, are you talking about World War II?
No, I'm talking about right now, Ukraine. Okay.
You got, I don't think they did anything. What did they do? That's what I want to know.
Exactly. Well, nobody asks that. Okay.
Right.
Point something out. It's a very important point. Is there any law that says you have to like your neighbor?
Not that I'm aware of.
Not that I'm aware of either. Okay. But I know damn well there are laws saying you have to get along with your neighbor.
Right.
Okay. And why Germany would allow a $30 billion act of terrorism against Nord Stream, 69% of the companies in Germany have moved all or some of their production out of Germany.
Right.
Because the cost of energy is too high. And the very funny thing is that one of the countries they moved their production to was Poland. And yesterday I read Poland is moving production to India. So we've created chaos. The attack, the war between Ukraine and Russia was created by the U.S. and NATO. It was incredibly stupid. It was very predictable that Ukraine and NATO were going to lose. And these arrogant idiots in the Pentagon and these arrogant idiots in Brussels have killed nearly a million people.
Yeah. That's a travesty.
Yeah. Well, we're about to face another travesty, and it's going to be interesting to see which way it goes.
Yeah. It is. It is. And that's the thing. It's like you and I going back full circle here, we're waiting for a pullback in the price of gold and silver or gold. And it's like now, and I do still expect it, but now it's almost off the, I don't want to say it's off the table, but it has me doubting it. I mean, I don't think you're going to get to go much further with all this stuff going on.
It's interesting, but what people need to think about is if the nominal price of gold is $2,400 an ounce, how valuable is it to you if you're dead?
Yeah, right. Yeah. Yeah. Interesting times, man. So
that's a Chinese curse. Okay. May you live in interesting time. When a Chinaman comes up to you and says, may you live in interesting times, he just insulted you.
Yeah, because they want to get the heck away from that guy. So I guess what are you looking at now, or what are you, as this plays out, what's going to be some, I mean, your eyes are wide open. So what's the next shoe to drop that you see? Is it this weekend?
It's either Israel gets sober or we have World War III. And the way to determine which one is most likely is take a coin out of your pocket, flip it.
Gosh. I don't like those odds when it comes to World War III.
Strange enough, I'm hoping a few people in Israel and the United States wake up to that. I had a guy write me today and said, I hope Israel nukes Iran. And I'm thinking, are you crazy?
Are you out of your mind?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Are you out of your mind?
Yeah.
I don't understand that either. It just, on any level. I just don't understand.
We're at the most important turning point in 500 years.
Yeah.
And two alternatives. One is really good, peace in the Middle East, and the other is really bad. And frankly, I don't know which. I would like to hope that Israel wakes up.
Yeah. I do too. Well, let's end on that as hope, a thought of hope at least. I will pray. And then let's end on two is I'm going to have you on next week and around table discussion. I'll be talking with you and John Rubino.
And okay, I need to put some conditions on that.
Sure.
John Rubino is really a good looking guy, and I want you to insist he wears a mask because, you know, in comparison between John Rubino and me, it just pisses me off because I do him every single time.
I will tell him that and he will laugh. I did tell him that when I had him on 2 weeks ago. He came up big belly, you laughed. But
I don't mind people being better speakers than me. I don't mind people being smarter than me. But when they're better looking too, that really chaps my ass.
Yeah, he's a handsome guy. But I was going to say, I'm really looking forward to seeing you both and having you both on, but I'm not looking forward to the circumstances that might happen or might entail.
Well, I hope we make it till next week.
Yeah, right. Me too. All right, Bob, as always, it's so good to see you. And as I said offline, this is probably one of my favorite, if not my favorite interview to talk to. So I appreciate your time.
I'm kind of fun.
You're a lot of fun. All right. Take care.
Okay, my friends.